Hello again, everyone. Well, Easter Sunday is, above all days, the day that Christians celebrate. Hooray! The resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of our faith. Christianity is, above all, a religion of resurrection. The church is called primarily to be the community of the resurrection. For Christians, Easter Sunday is the most exciting Sunday of the year. When we remember and we proclaim that Jesus is alive. And this simple yet profound fact makes all the difference in the world. Of course, that is our message all the year round. In one sense, every day is Easter Day, at least for us, as we acknowledge and we experience in different ways that Jesus is alive. And we must acknowledge that culturally, Christmas gets much better press in and is celebrated in our communities to a greater extent. Yet we are, first and foremost, Easter people, because we have an Easter gospel, which is good news for everyone every day of the year. The Easter gospel is good news because it proclaims a glorious hope. Death has been swallowed up and overcome to such an extent that we shall be with the Lord forever. Jesus has brought life and immortality to light, as the Bible tells us. No less important is the fact that Easter good news proclaims a present power. The risen Lord Jesus is present with his people today. Already in the here and now, we may begin to share in the risen life of Jesus. Even in our moments of weakness, we may experience the transforming power of the resurrection. There's a lot of good news here. The resurrection is not just a past event, although it is clearly that. It's not just a future prospect, though it is also that. It is a present reality. So for us, the resurrection is the climax of God's story as he interacts with humankind, with us. Without the resurrection, there is not really any meaningful good news for us today. So let's look at that story. Let's look this morning, this Easter Sunday morning, at the reality of the resurrection as it dawned on those first witnesses when they realized what was happening. Firstly, the empty tomb reveals that the resurrection is not just an idea formed in our minds, but an event in history. Between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, God is at work, as Luke records in his sequel, his second volume, The Acts of the Apostles. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. What a fantastic verse. Easter story unashamedly declares that Jesus is risen from the dead, Luke chapter 24, verse 6 that we've just heard. Jesus did not rise, as some have suggested, in the hearts of his disciples. It is not primarily about a change in experience for the disciples. It's a change Jesus experienced. The hearts and minds of the disciples were changed because they discovered the physical reality that the body of Jesus had been transformed through the resurrection. The initial pointer to the resurrection was the empty tomb. The dead Jesus had gone, an event in history. Secondly, the empty tomb bears witness to the bodily resurrection of Jesus, Luke 24, verse 3. The body was not there. The Greeks believed in the immortality of the soul. But Christians believed in the resurrection of the body. When Jesus rose from the dead, he rose with a body that was recognizably his. Have a look at Luke chapter 24, verses 37, right through to verse 48. There is a difference between resurrection and resuscitation, however. When Lazarus came back from the dead, his body was the same as before, and he would die again in time. But when Jesus came back from the dead, his body was transformed. Thirdly, I want us to see that the empty tomb connects the resurrection with the crucifixion. The body that disappeared was the body that was crucified, and we read of that in Luke 23, verse 53. It was the body whose brokenness had been symbolized in the broken bread in the upper room, Luke 22, verse 19, as we remember when we celebrate communion. In raising his son from the dead, God was putting his seal of approval on the work of Jesus on the cross. So there's three important messages that the empty tomb gives us. But what does it do for us today? What difference can it make? It changes our thinking about life, the universe, and everything. Many people have made up their minds about religion and how the world works. Easter calls us to look at the facts and to think again. May I suggest that Easter calls us to revise our thinking in three areas. Firstly, we're to revise our thinking about death. When the women went to the tomb, they expected to find the body of Jesus. Indeed, they went to the tomb to complete the task of anointing the body of Jesus, as was the custom and sign of love and respect for the deceased at that time. We read that Luke 24, verse 1. They presumed that death was the end, that it was the final full stop in the life of the person, Jesus. So too in our culture, death is widely seen as the end, the final full stop in the story of the life of the person we know and love. Precisely because it is assumed to be the end, it's feared. And we've seen a lot of that over the last year, haven't we? Death is the last thing we talk about. It is the thing we try our hardest to put off in all manner of ways. Easter calls us to revise our thinking about death, and particularly about it being feared and about it being the end. Secondly, Easter calls us to revise our thinking not just about death, but about Jesus. The couple chatting on the road to Emmaus spoke of Jesus as a prophet, powerful in word and deed, Luke 24, verse 19. But at that stage, they were not able to speak of him as prince and savior. We read of that in Acts chapter 5, verse 31. It was their discovery of the resurrection that caused the disciples of Jesus to change radically their thinking about Jesus. So too in our culture, many are willing to acknowledge that Jesus may have been a prophet. They speak of him as having been a great religious leader, a moral teacher, but no more than that. If Jesus is risen from the dead, however, we need to think again. Easter calls us to revise our thinking about Jesus. Thirdly, Easter calls us to revise our thinking about the future in general and about our future in particular. The resurrection of Jesus is a pointer to something even greater. It's a pointer to the day when God will wind up all human history of this age and will call humankind to account. To account for the way that we've spent our lives and spent the global resources available to us. And in particular, how we have treated others. For Luke, and for the early church in general, the telling of life-transforming resurrection went hand in hand with a call to repentance and the offer of forgiveness. Luke 24, verse 47, Acts 2, verse 36, and verse 38. In other words, as the news of the resurrection starts its work of transforming our understanding of God and of death, and indeed the fullness of life that God wants us all to enjoy, we also recognize that all so often we've lived for our own advantage at the cost of others, at a cost to the planet we live on, all of which has been meant as God's amazing gift of creation for us all to enjoy. When we recognize that God doesn't just want us to feel guilty, he invites us to change and in return offers us forgiveness for the mess that we've made in our past so that we can positively move on with him, with humanity, and with our global environment, it is the hope of new life. God gives us that hope of new life. That's the joy of the Easter message, the gospel, the good news for all humanity. And as we start to draw to a close this morning, let me leave you with a challenge. Will you look at the historical evidence? Will you look at the difference the resurrection of Jesus means today for you, for me, for our world? Will you take the step of faith in turning from a life which can exploit the world around you to a life that celebrates its goodness and seeks to transform its ugliness? Will you become a modern day follower of Jesus? You see, it doesn't matter what's happened in our life up to this point in some respects. We may well have made a mess. We may well recognize that we've tried, but we've not quite managed to respect others in the way that we should. Maybe we've used them or abused them in some way. Or maybe that's happened to us and left us feeling disabled to live our life in the way that we feel that we could. Well, whatever's happened, we can come to this Jesus who's risen from the dead, who's overcome the final enemy in life, death, and offers us forgiveness, offers us a clean slate, offers us a new start, offers us a hopeful way of living. And not just for us, but for our communities too. Well, we can enter into all of that as we simply ask Jesus to come into our lives, to be present by his Holy Spirit in our lives, that we may get to know him better. Not about him, though that's helpful, but to know him, to relate to him and know what it means to be related to by God. And we can do that with a simple prayer. So let's pray now, shall we? Join me in this prayer. Almighty God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, into our world to become one of us, to know what it means to be human, to live life on this planet, even amongst the most difficult of circumstances, to be misunderstood, to be persecuted, to be abused, to be tortured and crucified, but also to be raised from the dead, to come into a new life beyond the grave as a deposit, as the first sign that that is available to all who trust in you. Help us to trust in you today, Lord God. Help us as we acknowledge our faults and failings, maybe the mess that we've made. Help us to live hopefully and more in line with the way that you have for humankind to thrive in this world today. And help us also to know that death is not the end, that there is this sure and certain hope of eternity with you, the living God. Thank you for that Easter good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.